Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Doug Kammer is the chief meteorologist at NBC Channel 4, has been there for many, many years now, followed the legendary Bob Ryan, and is our go-to for primarily winter weather talk, because that's what you love and that's what I love. But we've had him on for the occasional, you know, big hurricane or tropical storm over the summer months. But we have something to talk about, my friend. This is going to be fun on Sunday and Monday. But before we get to that, you know, we got a squall line heading in our direction right now, west to east. Do we have anything to be concerned about here in the metro, the immediate metro this afternoon?
Yeah, I will say I am driving right now just outside of Jacksonville.
Why are you doing that?
I have not looked at that. Well, I did a little Christmas cruise and spent some time with my friends on New Year's Eve, and now I'm driving home so I can make it back for the storm.
You're not allowed to take these days off. This is
That's why I'm driving back now, so I'm home for Sunday.
All right. So do you have any information on this afternoon that you can share with us?
I have not seen anything on this afternoon. I have been focusing everything on what we're going to be seeing on Sunday and Monday. But these squalls, the one thing that we're looking at, you know, with these squalls when they come down, and most of them should stay north of D.C. as we move on through the evening hours, is the fact that, you know, anytime these squalls come through, if we were to get a squall warning, squall line warning, and this is something that's fairly new from the National Weather Service. They just came out with this a couple of years ago. They would come through and they would lower visibility very, very quickly. And they may last 10 minutes, but it's 10 minutes of very heavy snow. And then it moves on through. So you may be driving, everything's fine, and then next thing you know, you're in a whiteout condition for 5 to 10 minutes, and then you're through it. But again, that 5 to 10 minutes can get a little dicey really fast. So if you are driving, especially north of the city later this evening, please watch out for those things. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Before we get to what you're thinking for, you know, late Sunday night, Monday, and now perhaps even into early Tuesday, just, you know, you love this because you are one of the forecasters in town that want snow, want big storms, want real winter. Not everybody listening, you know, agrees with you. You know I do. But just a week ago, week and a half ago, once you started to see sort of the pattern change and what we're headed for, big picture, just for the month of January, or at least the first half of it, is we haven't seen this kind of winter forecast in a long time. Just talk about that before we get to the specifics of Sunday, Monday, you know, through Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, we've got this pattern that's pretty set. And that pattern is, as you know, we're looking at negative NAO, negative AO. We're looking at a positive PNA. PNA is the Pacific North American Oscillation. The NAO is the North American or North Atlantic Oscillation. And you need those to be in opposite directions. You need the NAO to be negative. You need the PNA to be positive. You also need the trough on the eastern coast to set up in the right position, as well as the ridge in the west coast. And you really want that ridge. A lot of times that positive PNA is a little too far to the east. And if it's too far to the east, we get cold, but we miss the snow. If it's too far to the west, we get the storms, but the storms come in and we're on the warmer side of those storms. So we're in a really good situation right now for winter weather right over the next couple of days. You got this little system today. Then you got that next system that comes in Sunday into Monday, and then we could even see something as we head in towards later next week. So this is really an interesting pattern for us. We really haven't seen a pattern like this in a while. And it'd be something that if we got one snowstorm out of it, that's at least what I'm hoping for. But I'd love to see us get it later on this week as well, because we're talking about it's very rare that we have the cold air that's in place. And right now we've got the cold air in place. This little system coming through today is actually going to help to continue to bring in the colder air as we make our way through the weekend. And that sets the stage for our next storm on Sunday.
All right, let's get to that. All right. And I'll let you handle it in terms of what it looks like for DC Metro, what it looks like for the burbs. But, you know, talk about, you know, where this storm's coming from, how it sets up, and what the latest is. Because I just checked out the Canadian, the GFS, and it looks big. So tell everybody what we got.
Yeah. So this system is coming from the west. This is not your typical. You get a couple of different storm systems that come through here. The one we have today is a little clipper system. That thing runs on through. The big storms, the big blizzards, they come up from the Gulf of Mexico and right up the coast, and they bring the cold air on the backside, and we get the huge snows from that like we did in 2016. These types of systems are really interesting to watch. And the reason is this one's coming from the middle of the country. It's making its way across the United States in towards our area. That area of low pressure is then going to transfer its energy off the coast, while the upper level low continues to be over our area. And that is what is going to help us to produce the snowfall. The cold air is already in place, so anything that starts to fall on Sunday into Sunday night, and this really is perfect timing. And what I mean by that is you don't have any sunshine. So now you're talking about the coldest part of the day, the nighttime hours, is when the snow starts. You've got temperatures that will fall initially once the precipitation starts. So you're talking about snow coming down and then potentially picking up and maybe becoming heavy. And at the same time, temperatures are dropping. So now you're talking about a cold atmosphere. So you're cold throughout the entire layer. You're cold at the surface. You have been for a couple of days. And that is what is going to allow this stuff to stick and really stick very quickly. And that's when you get some of your heavier snowfall totals, when you're all snow. Now, that being said, this system is one of those that will have some warmer air just to the south of it. So where this track is going to go is really going to be dependent on what we get. And you've watched the models, Kev. You know what I'm talking about here. The GFS has been all over the place.
Yep.
And it is again today. The European has been incredibly consistent. The one thing you've noticed about the European with the last three runs, it has gone further south. And what that means is it's an all-snow event for us, but it also took the most of the precipitation down to the south as well. So areas like Fredericksburg and Richmond get more snow than D.C. would. So that's kind of interesting, too. I would say right now, and I don't know how many times you and I have talked about this, don't even look at the NAM. Throw that thing out. It's ridiculous model. I don't like it. Do I look at it? Yeah, but man, it will screw you every time you look at it. So right now, for example, it puts down 1.6 inches of sleet.
Yeah.
So
well, you don't look at it this far. Most of our audience has no idea what you're talking about or what I'm going to say. Right. NAM, GFS, exactly. Euro, Icon, you know, all the different models. The NAM is the short-term model, and it's very inaccurate until you get to what, maybe 24 hours or less?
Maybe 24 to 36 hours. Yeah. Once you get into 36 hours, then you can start to look at it. The NAM is the North American model. It's a short-term model that runs out to 3 days. So most of the time you can take a look at that. And, you know, initially I don't even really look at it. I tell my friends, don't look at it. And it's really 36 to 24 hours. Now the GFS is another American model. That's a longer range model, and that has had some success. But the European model is by far the best model, and it continues to be with this storm as far as consistency goes. And the European ensembles, all of them also went south. So that was interesting to me because I saw the operational go south. But then when I saw all the ensemble members go south, that was what really kind of says to me, okay, maybe this thing is going farther south. That being said, I'm really waiting for the 12Z European, which we will have coming up in the next hour.
Right.
And I really do think at that time that does make a move back to the north. And if it does, then it puts D.C. right back in the poolside there.
All right, so we're talking to Doug Kammerer from Channel 4, at Doug Kammerer on Twitter, on X. So let's talk about sort of the, I mean, I hate saying best case, worst case, but as far as people like you and me, best case for the metro area, worst case for the metro area, and then timing.
Yeah, timing is going to be on Sunday. It's going to start Sunday evening and really pick up overnight Monday night. This may even come
Sunday
in
night.
Two waves. Sunday night, yeah. Pick up on Sunday night into Monday morning. So Monday morning is going to be, no matter what happens here as far as snow or rain or ice, freezing rain, no matter what, Monday morning is not going to be good on the roads. So I've already told my kids, you probably will not have school on Monday. And I also feel that if this storm comes in the way I think it could, then we might not have school on Tuesday either. And that's the kind of system that we're talking.
Now, this is what I love about you, by the way. Let me just interject.
Yeah.
You don't hem and haw about all the different. Doug just basically said, kids, Monday and Tuesday, you're good. Your holiday vacation doesn't end until Tuesday, and who knows, maybe Wednesday, but I won't get you to commit to that. But go ahead, continue.
Right, exactly. That's what I told my kids, and I, you know, they're like, well, all our friends are asking us. And I'm like, all right, well, tell them most likely no school on Monday and possibly no school on Tuesday if this comes in the way we think. Now, if we look at this storm and how much snow we could have, if the European is right, this thing's a little farther south of us. But, again, with that 12Z run, I'm thinking it might come north. If that's the case and you're cold throughout the column, and that means cold throughout the atmosphere, the snow ratios are going to be a little bit higher as well. So if you look at the European is putting out a good, you know, I'll say 6 to 8 inches DC. Some of the models now are putting out close to 10. So I think that's like your best case scenario as far as weather is concerned, as far as how much snow would be like a 6 to 10 inch range. On TV today, we are talking about.
Hold on, Doug's breaking up a little bit. He's driving back from Jacksonville, so he's probably hit a stretch somewhere just south of Savannah on 95. Do we have you? You started to break up there.
All right, so we're looking.
Now we're going to let you get through. We're going to let you clear through some of this. Some of this area that seems to be a bit of a dead area, and then we'll get Doug back. So you just heard him say kind of best case 6 to 10, so we're waiting for the worst case. I think he's probably going to tell us that the worst case is still several inches of snow, but with maybe some mix involved. But let's see what he says. Denton, you tell me when we have Doug back.
He is back and good.
All right, we got him back. All right, go ahead. So, best case, 6 to 10 metro area, all snow, cold, timing, late Sunday through late Monday. I mean, I've seen some of this wraparound stuff. That looks impressive. But I'll let you continue.
Yeah,
really, go.
Yeah, it really does. And if that's the case and we get some of that upper level low, you know, this could continue in through Monday night. And then we're talking, you know, like that 6 to 10 inch range, some areas maybe even a little bit more. If there's going to be a bullseye area, where's that going to be? We're not sure, but that even could be a foot of snow if our ratios are higher and we're cold enough. And it really does depend on where that system is going to be, of course, and if there's any warm air that comes in aloft. And I'm talking about a couple thousand feet. So it's not 6 to 10. We are putting out a snow map today. We did for our midday show on Channel 4. And that was for 3 to 6 inches around the D.C. metro, and really for most of our area. And then I said 3 to 6 inches plus. So we had Jessica Faith on today. She put that map out. Amelia Draper will be in this afternoon with a new map that we're going to be updating once we get the latest information in from the European and some of the other models that are coming in. We'll get that new map. But right now I've got 3 to 6 inches plus. I think that's a pretty good bet. Even if we mix with some sleet, I still think we get to that 3-inch mark, at least in the city. And then the less sleet we have, the less mixing we have, the more snow we get. So once again, the European has no mixing at all. The European is all snow. The GFS has a little bit of mixing. I have not seen the Canadian just yet. Once again, the Canadian, not my favorite model, but I would take a look at it.
Canadian looks good.
What's the Canadian have for totals?
Like in the 6 to 10 range.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the bullseye from the Canadian. The 0-Z run last night was right over Washington, D.C. And this, the one great thing about this has pretty much been the case all week long. This has not shifted a lot. So anytime you have consistency like this for days and days on end, your confidence is going to go up for what we have. But once that little shift north could bring us a little bit of mixing. That little shift south could bring us more snow. I mean, I'll never forget, Kevin, I know you know this, that the superstorm of 93. You know, that storm was a monster storm along the East Coast. D.C. got 6.6 inches of snow because it mixed over to sleet.
Yep.
And it went to sleet, and we saw a lot more of sleet. I was in the Herndon area. Out there, Herndon High School, my senior year of high school, we got about 12 inches of snow mixed over to sleet and freezing rain, which we got quite a bit of, and then it went back over to snow. So we had like a little layer of ice in the middle of what was a pretty good snowstorm. But we got over 14 inches, I think, of snow at Dulles for that storm. So that's the mixing right there. So Dulles got 14 inches, even with some mixing. D.C., because it mixed over, only got 6. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for. With this system, obviously less snow, not as big of a system, but that's what we're going to be looking for. Where's that mix going to be?
Yeah, right. By the way, real quickly, just back to kind of the best case for us, worst case for those that don't like snow. If you get that upper level low and that, you know, creates a much longer duration event, yeah. I just want to be clear on this. You think somebody will get a foot?
I absolutely think it's a possibility, yes. Because of the fact that we're so cold, because of the fact there's a lot of cold air out ahead of this system and behind this system, as the system comes through, I think there's going to be a bullseye area of somebody getting a foot. And the amazing part about that is, wherever that bullseye area is going to be, just south of there is going to be that mixing, that sleet.
Yeah, right.
That's what happens with these storms. So you could get, let's say, Quantico picks up a foot of snow, and Fredericksburg gets 4 inches and then gets, you know, a half an inch of sleet. That could definitely happen.
And, you know, this is whatever we get, it's going to stick around for a while. It's not going anywhere. And if you looked at the 12Z GFS, it looks like this, you know, end of next week's storm is back on the table, because that's the one that initially I think a lot of you guys thought might be the big one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, the pattern is there, right? So we've got that nice trough. We've got the cold air. I mean, all the players are there. It's just a matter of, you know, we like to talk about the ingredients. All the ingredients are there. You know, we just don't know how the cookies are going to turn out when it's all said and done just yet. But all the ingredients are there. They're in the pot. They're ready to go.
All right. When are you going to be back? Are you going to be back for the 11 tonight?
No, I'm not. Although my way said I'll be back by 10:21 p.m.
Why are you driving?
No, because I have my wife and kids in the car, and there's no chance that is going to happen.
You do know that there's a thing called an airplane that you can jump on to fly to and from. That's a long drive this time of year with young kids in the car, right?
Long drive, and it's looking so far. So far, it's looking pretty good. Yeah, we took the auto train down, and now we're driving back. So, right. Yeah, trying to save a little money, buddy. Trying to save a little money here.
All right. Well, drive safely. Can't wait to see you. You'll be back, what, tomorrow night or Sunday night?
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow night. I'll be back on the air on Sunday. Yeah, well, I'll be there for the 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Sunday as this thing is really starting to ramp up.
All right. Doug will be back on right in time. You know, and, you know, we both know a lot can change between now and the start of this storm, but you feel yeah. pretty confident we're getting something.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely getting something. We're definitely getting some snow at the beginning of it. How long it stays snow is going to give us the real impact. But I really do think Monday morning is going to be a tough go of things. And I really do think we'll be out of school on Monday. I really do think we're going to have some issues Monday morning for that any kind of commute. Obviously, everybody's coming back from vacation. Everybody's, you know, Monday is really the day that everybody's back. And I think we're going to have a lot of problems out there on the road. So hopefully everybody just kind of chills out, stays off the roads. And, you know, my wife is excited because we still have our Christmas decorations up.
So I think most people do.
During our,
yeah.
our Christmas decorations.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the euro just started to roll, so let's hope for just maybe a slight bump north, and we're right in the bullseye. I will talk to you over the weekend, probably, and have a safe trip back. Drive safely.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. See you, everybody.
All right, Doug Kammer, everybody. We haven't had winter, a lot of it, you know, in recent years, so... This will be the first one, but he wasn't looking at later today, and it does look like some of us will get rain showers or maybe even some brief heavy snow showers this afternoon, but that's not the storm. The storm is Sunday night, Monday, maybe even into Monday night. All right, when we come back, my smell test for this final regular season weekend of the year. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. We've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties, and most of our business comes from referrals. Why? Because we make it so easy. Tight timeline? No problem. Groomsmen scattered all over? We got you. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Come see me at Nick's Menswear, and let's make this the easiest win for your wedding planning. Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
14 games above 500 for the year. Out of the last 11 weeks, so we're going back 2.5 months of smell test picks, not one losing weekend. I've had 2 500 weekends, including last weekend, and 9 winning weekends. It's about as good of a roll as I think I've had. I've had bigger disparity win-loss totals because some of them were, you know, 5-2-1 or 5-3 weekends or a 6-4 weekend, but I don't think I've had a run of 2.5 months without having a losing weekend. Yes, I do understand that when you go 500, you lose juice. I've wagered before, but I'm just talking about in terms of the overall record. Last week, had Chicago in that Thursday night game, dumped the Browns before kickoff. You got to follow me on X at Kevin Sheehan DC, especially with some of the picks I'm going to give out for this weekend. They could easily change, and I could pull them before kickoff. You'll see a lot of wild swings and point spreads when teams are eliminated or have, you know, a seed locked up. I mean, these are really tough games to bet because even when the game starts, it may change in terms of the incentive at halftime based on the score in another game. So follow me, please, on Twitter, on X, at Kevin Sheehan DC, and I'll pull a game. Can't pull it once it starts, but All of these games, by the way, are NFL games, none of the bowl games for this upcoming weekend. I had the under in the Ohio State-Oregon game to start the week off. That was a loser. I had the under in the Notre Dame-Georgia game. That was a winner. So 1-1 so far this week. So let's start with tomorrow, where Cincinnati, to keep their playoff hopes alive, has to win. Pittsburgh's playing for seeding. You know, they're still playing potentially for a division. Baltimore, by the way, is the first game to go tomorrow. They are a 20-point favorite over Cleveland. Cleveland hasn't been this big of a dog in 50 years, according to my guy Ben Fox on Twitter. They were a 21.5-point favorite back in 1975 and lost by 21. I mean, even back then, the odds makers had a pretty good handle on everything. I don't like the Baltimore game one way or the other, but the world is on Cincinnati tomorrow. The public believes Cincinnati will win this game, win it easily. Pittsburgh's been struggling. Pittsburgh has something to play for, because if they win, and even if they don't win the division, which they're probably not going to, you know, they've got basically a situation in which they have a chance to go to Houston in the first round as a 5 seed. That makes a lot more sense, don't you think, than falling to potentially the 6 seed and having to go to Baltimore next weekend. So Pittsburgh's got a lot to play for, not to mention they got to get it together heading into the postseason. They've lost 3 games in a row. This is, to me, a no-brainer pick on pure sort of contrarian philosophy. Pittsburgh will be the most, Cincinnati will be the most bet team of the final weekend of the NFL season. The line is up to 2.5 now, so I'm going to do what I've been doing for a while now, and I would encourage you to do it as well. I'm going to buy the 0.5 and take Pittsburgh plus the 3. Yes, it was 1.5 yesterday. It was 2 late last night. It is 2.5 almost everywhere now. Gives me an opportunity here to buy the 0.5 and take the Steelers plus the 3. Let's go to Sunday, where the NFC South comes down to, you know, 2 games at 1 o'clock. Tampa Bay playing New Orleans at home. Atlanta playing Carolina at home. Of course, Atlanta could have controlled their own fate had they beaten Washington on Sunday night, but Raheem Morris had a lot to do with that not being a possibility. They got to win and hope that Tampa loses. Tampa's a 14-point favorite over the Saints. The Saints have nothing, man. You know, this is one of those where, you know, I've said many times before, you know, play more often than not the team that's got nothing to play for plus the points against the team that's got everything to play for. That wouldn't be a game, but Carolina-Atlanta would be. Carolina's been a tough team over the last 2 months. Assuming they're playing the majority of their starters, and Bryce Young is injured, but he was a full participant. Adam Thielen was injured, but he was a limited participant. That's one of these picks that could change before kickoff. Atlanta's an 8-point favorite right now. I'll take the Panthers plus the 8. They are a major anti-public side. Then we go to the 4:25 window, where the situation is this in the AFC. If Denver wins, they're in. They grab that last spot. If they lose, Miami wins, Miami's in. If they lose and Miami loses and Cincinnati wins on Saturday, Cincinnati's in. But Denver in a good spot to control their fate. They are 10.5-point favorites over the Chiefs, who are going to start Carson Wentz and play as few starters as possible. But guess what? Doesn't stop the public from saying, wait a minute, I get the Chiefs and I get 10.5. They're loading up on Kansas City. Kansas City has nothing to play for. This is opposite of the way I usually feel, but it's such a huge public dog. I'm going to take Denver by the 0.5 and lay 10 in this one. And I think they rolled. One of the things you got to feel good about with Denver is their defense, man, against Carson Wentz. So there's that pick. Oh, I have one more that I just added during the break. Because apparently one of the biggest totals being played is the over in the Tampa Bay New Orleans game. It's 43.5. The last time they played, the score was 51-27. Not to mention Tampa has scored 40 or more in their last two games. So there's a lot of action on over New Orleans Tampa Bay. I'll take under New Orleans Tampa Bay 43.5. So, Steelers by and a half point plus 3 tomorrow night. The Panthers plus 8 on Sunday against the Falcons. Tampa, New Orleans under 43.5, and Denver minus 10. Just, again, like I did last week with the Browns, where I pulled it before kickoff, these things are really changeable in the final Sunday of the season. So give me a follow on X at Kevin Sheehan DC, and I will update everything on Sunday before the 1 o'clock games, and then Sunday again before the 4:25 games. I only have one Sunday late game. All right. And maybe even before tomorrow's Saturday game, although both teams have incentive to win that game. Cincinnati to stay alive, Pittsburgh to try to get to the point where, worst case, they're going to Houston rather than to Baltimore in the first weekend of the postseason. So the Steelers plus 3, Panthers plus 8, under Tampa, New Orleans 43.5, and Denver minus 10. When we come back, we'll do some Denton news, and we will have our predictions on the season finale in Dallas. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, let's start with some Commanders news. Dan Quinn spoke earlier this hour, and he said that Marshon Lattimore is out for this weekend. Not a whole lot of surprise with that one, but there is optimism that he'll be ready to go for the wild card game once we find out who the team is playing. But on the optimistic side, Kevin, there's a potential that Austin Eckler could go this weekend. He's currently listed as TBD, but it seems like there's a very good shot that he's going to be activated off of IR. So you could get Austin Eckler back into the fray.
This is so huge for not Sunday, obviously, but for, you know, the postseason. I think they've missed him dearly. And you could argue that he was even, as a runner, their best threat as a running back, even though he wasn't in there on a lot of early down stuff. I hope he's healthy. I hope this, you know, is not a risk for him. I don't see him being their kickoff returner. That's where he took that big shot the last time. And by the way, Luke McCaffrey's done a pretty good job on kickoff returns, but he could be a critical component of what they are. I mean, look, I think, you know, mid-October, let's go back to like mid-October, where Washington was when we first started to say, wow, this team's pretty good. You know, they were 4-1 and they had destroyed Cleveland. Maybe it was, you know, as they were destroying Carolina and you know, getting ready for the Chicago game, they were 5-2 or 5-1 or whatever they were. Like, they had lost to Baltimore and Tampa at that point. Eckler was debatably the second most valuable player on the team at that point. So I think that's really big for them moving forward. I do think it's going to be interesting to see who gets released so that he gets called up. And I guess we'll find that out here tomorrow. That stuff usually happens on Saturdays. But that's good news. And the idea that they're optimistic about Lattimore for next week would be big as well. Biotish, I'm assuming, is out this Sunday too, right?
Yes, I think that would be a safe assumption. But I will try and find confirmation on that one. How about your boy Jalen Milroe? Decide he's going to go to the NFL draft.
I didn't see that. How did he play in the bowl game? I didn't even watch that bowl game.
Well, they lost to Michigan.
I know they did.
So, not well. I can't believe he's going to the NFL draft.
I can't either. I mean, what he is a dynamic dual threat quarterback. He is a dynamic runner. And in this day and age, you know, teams are open to having a run first quarterback involved, you know, if they don't have another way to go. So I just don't see him, certainly not as a night one pick. And you and I got off him months ago as a night two pick.
He went against Michigan 16 of 32 for 192 yards, a touchdown and a pick.
He is one great and physical and explosive runner, though, as a quarterback. He's that.
He is. I mean, he got sacked a bunch, so he had 16 carries for 7 yards with a long of 41, which is great math.
For those that don't know, in college football, sacks are counted as rushing yards. So when you take, 30 yards in sack yardage, it goes into your overall rushing yards. What was the final number with a 41-yard carry?
7 yards.
Yeah, that's hard. That's impossible to do in the NFL.
On 16 carries, but there were 5 of them were sacks. So Michigan sacked him 5 times. But yeah, he's going to the Senior Bowl, so you'll get to see him there. I don't know.
He can change his mind, right?
Yeah, he can. He can come back if he wants to. I don't know that. My guess is that if he comes back, he's a junior right now. My guess is if he comes back, he's more likely than not is not going to come back to Alabama. Odds are, right, if you're making this decision now, it's also partly because Kalen DeBoer is like, we're going to go in a different direction next year. This just wasn't working for us.
Right. All right, what else?
How about the we didn't talk about this when we talked about college football. How about the kid that got a little too busy on the sideline last night, running into the official Parker Jones, who has basically gotten doxed.
Was that a good call?
I mean, it was correct because he was on the sideline. Was it a good call for ESPN to make it a massive story and pander to him as the game was ending? No, it
felt badly for him. Get excited on the sideline. You block kind of a referee from running downfield. You get flagged for that. That's you know.
Did you look him up at all after that?
I didn't. I don't know anything about him.
Do you want to guess what position he plays?
Punter.
I thought the same thing. That dude's a cornerback.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, he looked
like a punter or a kicker, a backup punter or kicker.
He must have some explosiveness that is hiding in the sweatpants. He didn't look very explosive on the sideline yesterday. How about Ron getting interviewed by the Jets? Apparently it went well. I mean, I don't know what that means in this regard, but he interviewed with the Jets and they tweeted about it.
I don't know what to make of it. You know, if we weren't in the situation we're in, which is experience with him for 4 really meager seasons, we might have the same opinion that many around the league have, which is he's a good man, he's a good coach, he's somebody that has been widely respected around the league by other NFL people and by the players that played for him. Last year when he got, interviewed for a couple of positional spots, I thought it was a bit interesting. I think that, Ron's sensitive to criticism. I mean, we learned that. You know, Ron does not like to be criticized. He gets very sensitive to it. And I think, he wanted people to think that he was desired and somehow was able to land a couple of interviews, but he didn't land a job. I don't know if that's a part of what's going on now, but I would be shocked if Ron Rivera got hired to be a head coach.
I would be too. I guess... Kudos to them for turning over every stone, but I can't imagine. One, I can't imagine that he'd want to go work for Woody Johnson. Like, we're looking at it from our perspective.
Look, I think somebody like Ron, who is a highly competitive dude but very sensitive, the idea that after the way it ended here, somebody would be willing to give him a head coaching job, just from that standpoint, he'd love it to sort of say, see, the way people think about me other than you people in Washington. So, yeah, I mean... Look, said it a million times. Dan Snyder owned organization, nobody had a chance to succeed as a head coach. Number two, he was given the responsibilities of being a coach-centric figure at a time in which we had a pandemic, we had a COVID season, he had cancer, and there were 37 investigations going on over the team, and the team was losing its name. It was just a total S show of epic proportions. And he, due respect to those of you that really can't stand anything about him, I actually think he handled a lot of that in ways in which a lot of people wouldn't have been able to handle it. But the bottom line is he was terrible at personnel, terrible at the draft. That's bottom line what doomed him more than anything else. He's not getting a job, Denton. He's not getting a head coaching job.
Not in this league. Maybe the
he's actually not bad on the air. I told you that a couple weeks ago. I've heard him call a couple of games on Westwood One. Pretty good as an analyst. All right, what else you got?
Final news story before I get to one NFL game that we got to touch on before we wrap the show off and give our predictions. Have you followed this Jimmy Butler thing at all in Miami?
Yeah.
He basically mic dropped yesterday, and he didn't say exclusively, I want to be traded. But some journalist asked him, someone in Miami asked him, do you think you can find happiness here on the court? And he said, probably not.
No.
He wants out of there bad.
No, he said, I want to see me getting my joy back playing basketball. This apparently is basically a showdown between he and Pat Riley. And Riley doesn't want to extend him. You know, remember, Riley said goodbye to Dwayne Wade. You know, so I think he'll get traded now.
He said, LeBron, too.
To LeBron as well. I think that I thought for a while Riley would do his, you know, super, no, you're under contract, you get a player option next year for $55 or $60 million, I believe it is. You're staying here, but I think he'll get traded now. Look, Jimmy Butler in the postseason is worth the price of admission in the last 5-6 years. He is a completely different player when you get to the postseason, but I that's going to end. And there are a lot of people that have a problem with his statement yesterday, and I don't. He's getting paid $50 million a year. I mean, that would be joyful for me and most of you to play basketball.
I would enjoy $50 million a year to do most things.
Yeah. Look, two things I want to get to before we get to our prediction. Number one is Philadelphia's decision not to play Saquon Barkley and let him go for the record that Eric Dickerson has held for 40 years. He's 101 yards short of breaking it. If I were a fan of, like, if he played for us and he had that opportunity, I would definitely want to see him go for it. I understand the significance of Dickerson's record. I'm also not hung up on the number of games. Dickerson did it in 16. OJ had done it in 14. He would do it in a lot less carries than Dickerson did it in. But I totally get from Philadelphia's standpoint. Couple of things. Number one, Philadelphia has played 12 straight weeks. They had their bye week early in the season. Part two to that is if you're going to play him, you got to play everybody. You can't put him out there behind, you know, a mashup of what your offensive line typically looks like. Their only, you know, their team goal is to win the Super Bowl. What's ironic about this, Denton, is if they had beaten Washington, he would have probably set the record because they would have been playing for something this weekend. They would have been playing for the one seed potentially. So that the loss to Washington, Eric Dickerson should thank, you know, Jaden Daniels and company for beating Philadelphia and making this game a total non-stakes game. If they had a bye next week as the one seed, I think I'd want him to play. But I get it from Philadelphia's standpoint. If I were a fan of him and the team, I would say no. The last thing I want is you going out there and risking it with some backup offensive linemen. So I get that. The other thing is, real quickly before we get to our Dallas-Washington predictions, is just this Minnesota-Detroit game, which is the single biggest game on the final weekend's card. Detroit, this was 31-29 the first time. I kind of like Minnesota in this spot. I really do, and that would be wild if Minnesota ended up being the number one seed and you had to go through that place to get to the Super Bowl. That would make them the Super Bowl favorites, Denton, if they win this game Sunday night. I think they have a good chance to win it. Detroit's just so banged up on defense. I mean, Detroit could score 35 and win 35-34, but Minnesota's going to have a chance to score some points in this game.
Just for context right now, they're 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. Detroit is the favorite. Philadelphia is second in the NFC. So just keep an eye on that, because I'd be curious as to how that number adjusts, knowing that Minnesota
massively
would be the home favorite.
If they only
have
to win two home games in that building to get to the Super Bowl.
And they're plus 360 right now to win the NFC champ. Detroit's plus 200. Philly's plus 320.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have to play Detroit and Philadelphia. They only have to play one of them.
Right.
Well, no, that's not true. They could play Detroit again as the one seed if Detroit wins the 5-4 game.
Right.
I'm wrong on that. All right. Sunday season finale. Not the last time we will predict a Washington final score this year. Usually it is. Not this year. We got a game next week. At least one more. I like Washington to win this game. I don't know who's playing quarterback for Dallas, and that's a big difference. If it's Cooper Rush and Dallas goes out to try to win the game, I think they're going to be able to run the football against us, and I think it'll be a competitive game. But I'm going to go Washington 27, I'm going to go Washington 24, Dallas 19. Closer than you think. If Trey Lance starts, it's a blowout.
If Trey Lance starts, which I'm expecting Trey Lance to be the starter, Kevin, and Dallas beats Washington, I'm going to do shirtless snow angels on Monday in the snow outside of our building. That's not going to happen. So I'm taking Washington to beat Dallas. I think they're going to do it with relative ease. I'm not going to go crazy, but I think they win 28-17 and they get the six seed.
If Trey Lance starts a quarterback and they can't stop the run Sunday, man, you're going to have to score 35 next weekend against whomever you play, because all three teams you'd play can run the football. Can't wait for next week. Enjoy this final regular season weekend of the year. We'll be back on Monday regardless of the weather. Chris Russell is next.